Hey, you know what? I believe if you check everybody's hand one more time, you feel better. Do it again. Reach over and check everybody's hand again. Hallelujah. Hey, that's all right. Hallelujah.
I'm glad I'm in the church. And I'm not saying that just to give you some inspiration. I mean, I'm really glad I'm in the church. I'm so glad I know who Jesus is. I'm so glad I've been baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I got the Holy Ghost and talked in tongues. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let you sit down if you want to. We're the worst people in the world about sitting down and standing up. Hallelujah. Sunday school class to sing a song that says, I'm so happy, I'm so happy, I'm so happy, 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 I'm so happy, happy, happy. You ever sing that? I'm so happy, I'm so happy, since Jesus is a friend of mine. That's something to be happy about. You know that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing a chorus and I just feel like singing it, all right? Hallelujah. Either you've heard it or sung it. And if you haven't either one, then it's real easy. And you can help me sing. It says, I've got joy like a river, and it flows continuously. I've got joy like a river. I can feel this joy all over me. I can shout and say, I've been set free. Glory, hallelujah, I have been redeemed. I'm so glad I've got joy, 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 joy. Oh, I've got joy like a river, and it flows continuously. I've got joy like a river. I can feel this joy all over me. I can shout and say, I've been set free. Glory, hallelujah, I have been redeemed. I'm so glad I've got joy, 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 joy. Sing it now. Oh, I've got joy like a river, and it flows continuously. I've got joy like a river. I can feel this joy all over me. I can count and say, I've been set free. Glory, hallelujah, I have been redeemed. I'm so glad I've got joy. up, a rushing mighty wind blew into the upper room and it baptized all of them with a power greater than any earthly force. I'm so glad I've got it too. I want to let the whole world know I've got joy like a river and it flows continuously. I've got joy like a river. I can feel this joy all over me. I can shout and say, I've been set free. Glory, hallelujah, I have been redeemed. I'm so glad I got Holy Ghost joy. Holy Ghost joy. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's love Him one more time right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can sit down. I heard some folks say last night was a great service. And I like the move of the Holy Ghost and the way God blessed, but it's one of the hardest things I've ever faced with in my life or any camp meeting speaker or pastor, anybody. When you make a right-hand turn and all of a sudden you find out you're on a one-way street going the other way. And it takes a lot of nerve to say, stop, hold it, let's back up, we missed it. Hallelujah. And then God blesses. You get back to street marker number 47 where we left him at, and he starts blessing again. God operates in strange ways. It makes us look bad, but besides that, what are we supposed to look like anyhow? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody might have felt, somebody said last night, said, boy, that's different. We don't have church like that very much. That's unusual. During the service last night, Brother Shorty Mayo's wife, Sister Mayo, many of you know that she has migraine headaches very seriously and even has to have very strong medication to help with it, either medication or faith, one or the other, either a touch of God or a touch of something else. And last night she came here sick, not just in a headache, but she came here seriously ill. And a lot of people knew that sitting around her. And she came just merely to be here a moment and disappear out the other side and do something about her headache. A migraine headache starts somewhere along here and it goes right back down your spinal column and it pulls your eyebrows back over around your hairline and your ears. It pulls them back down around your collar and it's terrible. It feels that way anyhow. And she sit there. And here I was trying to get everybody to get their mind on the Lord. Her eyes were sore, her neck was hurting. She'd had it for about 2 weeks, I know. I know it happened in Georgia sometime. And here she said, I've got to get out of here. I've got to get out of here. But I hate to move because he's trying to get everybody in one mind. Hate to do anything. I don't know what to do. And about that time I said, if anybody in this building wants to be healed, stand up. And she said, I don't feel like standing up, but I will. And she stood up and instantly she was completely healed. God didn't only take away the headache, He took away the soreness from her eyes, He took away the soreness from her neck, it was all gone. I said, the Lord was in this place, hallelujah, and He's here right now. He's here right now for the same thing. Yes, hallelujah. Woo! I thought tonight the best thing to do is start off every service with a healing service. Anybody want to get healed in Jesus' name? Hallelujah, hallelujah. You don't have to wait on... In our church services home, I tell the folks, very seldom do I start, anybody want to be prayed for, come on up, we got a time for that. I don't do it that way. I say, anytime you want to be prayed for, stand up, walk down the aisle, stand there. If I'm preaching, wait on me. If something's happening, wait on me. And I may just stop and go there right then. But you don't have to wait. We program God right out of the business. And God's changing us. He's changing us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have thoroughly enjoyed starting some of my Sunday night services off with baptizing. That's right. Do it different. I'm just tired of the old rut. Let's do something different. Hallelujah.
Let somebody, I mean in the first course, let somebody go get dressed. And while we're singing the first course, somebody be getting baptized in Jesus' name, come up out of water talking in tongues, and start church. That's all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Johnson said a little while ago, said there was power up here. Amen. Somebody said today, Brother Shirty looks like Brother Johnson. Brother Johnson looked like Brother Shirty or something. And I said, I better say something quick before he says it. And he finds out about it. I told somebody, I said, well, did you know he was my daddy? Not quite. But anyhow, he's my brother. He is my brother. We don't have the same last name of Johnson, but we still got the same last name. Hallelujah. Because our name has been changed. Our name has been changed. Hey, I think I'll take my whole 2 hours just talking to you folks now. This feels so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Well, I feel good tonight. I feel good. I feel good. Hallelujah. Can everybody hear me tonight all right? Everybody here back in that section? Brother Frank, you hear me all right? Last night, folks said, when I saw those men start down the aisles with the cymbals, I didn't even know what they were doing. I couldn't hear. I want you to hear. That bothers me if you can't hear. I don't want to go through a pantomime, you know, and just through some motions. I want you to hear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning about verse 24, I want to read something to you tonight. The Lord let me. And I promise you one thing right now. If I start it and don't feel it, I'll quit. But as long as I feel it, I'm going to preach if it's all night long. 15 minutes or 3 hours. It don't matter. It really don't matter to me. As long as I feel it, I'm going to preach. When I get through feeling, I'm going to stop. If it's right in the middle of a sentence, I'll stop. How many of you folks believe I'll do that? Yes, sir. I promise you. And if I happen to miss it about two or three words, you pray for me that I will stop in the middle of it. Right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know you not, they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself be a castaway. Would the church say amen?
Amen.
Let's go a little further. Philippians chapter 2, 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Forgetting those things that are back here and reaching for those things that are before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah! Oh, I'm forgetting what's back here and I'm reaching for what's out there. And I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. One more, 2 Timothy.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. 2 Timothy. I have fought a good fight. You've heard it. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. which the Lord the righteous judge shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I run the race, fought the battle, won the victory. There is a crown laid up for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Are you ready? Are you ready tonight? Hallelujah. The devil is a liar and God's people are full of truth. The Word of God is all power and truth. And Satan doesn't like any of it, but God's people are going home. Hallelujah. We're going to make it anyhow. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You folks better calm down or I won't ever. Lord, I won't get to do nothing around here tonight. I don't want you to calm down. I don't mean that. I want you to. We've got a right to be happy. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Why don't we just, you know, let's do something different right now. How many times in our churches do our preachers say, let's give God a hand clap or let's give God an applause? And we've done that for so many years that it can become mechanical. But I'm gonna show you how I want you to do this tonight. If you do it this way, I'm telling you nothing new. But the way to give God an applause is like this. I love you, Jesus. I praise you. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. Great is the name of the Lord. That's the way to do it. Would you give God a hand like that in worship tonight? Would you do it right now? Hallelujah. I love you. Oh, glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Yes, when you do it in worship, it works out all right. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. All right, you can sit down. I read a story some time ago, one of the most intriguing stories that I'd ever read in my life. And I've never read anything quite like it. I love the outdoors. I love to read about animals and their habits and places to go, things to do, feeding, watering, so on. I like that. I like the outdoors. And I read an article or a story. This writer went on to say that some years ago, there in one of the cattle producing parts of the country in one of the western states, the ranchers were continually plagued with an old lobo wolf. And the wolf was such a creature, he was far beyond his fellows in size. He was very brutal, very cunning, and he was a killer. Many of the young calves that were born never did reach an age that the rancher even knew they were there. He preyed upon them at his own will. They did everything they could to kill the wolf. They pursued him on horseback. They got the fleetest hounds in the country. When he had left his kill in the night, the early hours of the morning, they set the dogs on his track and they run him relentlessly. They pursued him. They went after him to kill him. This wolf was such a killer that he was a pest to the ranchers of this part of the country. And so it was they had tried everything. They tried to pursue him with hounds, but the hounds were not even in the race when it came to chasing him. The horses were not even in the race. The wolf was such a large animal that he could outrun anything they pursued him with. Anything. They tried bait and traps. They tried everything. And when they had practically exhausted every avenue at their disposal, one day while some of the ranchers were out in the field branding stock, an old man come walking across the field, ragged and tattered and torn, with a little sack on his back. And he walked into the crowd and the men curious, wanting to know what was happening. Who he was, where he come from.
He said, well, I heard that you fellows have been trying to kill a wolf in this part of the country. And he said, I've come here to kill him for you. And they laughed him to scorn. They thought it was a big joke. They had tried so hard to kill the wolf. But the old man just smiled and he said, I'll bring his skin to you in a few days. And they give him the bounty, the price of the reward, if he would bring it back. And he said, I'll bring his skin to you in a few days. So in the night, the old man made his way out in the wilderness, and he found a place where the old wolf had passed, and he sat down for hours. For hours, he sat there on the side of a stump, and he just looked at the track. He looked at the toenails, and he looked at the pad of the foot. He looked at the shape of the right one, the left one, the rear and the front. He looked at the pad, how heavy the wolf was. He was such a cunning man, he could tell you how much the wolf weighed by where he stepped in the soft sand. He looked at the toenails and the feet, and he could tell you how broad it was, and that practically the height of the wolf by his tracks. And he studied it for hours. He was in no hurry. He had plenty of time. He was in no hurry to go anywhere. And so in the night, he walked on in the wilderness and camped by a pool. And somewhere in the night, he heard the wolves as their voice began to echo through the tall timbers. They chased an elk by him. And the old man listened patiently in the night. And out of a crowd of wolves, he heard one voice that was different than all the rest. And he said, now I have heard your voice. I have seen your track, and I have heard your voice. And the next day, he tracked the old wolf up in the hills to a cave. And the wolf was cunning. He was sharp. And he just mocked the old man and slipped out the side entrance and down the side of the hill. All the other wolves were caught in the cave. But that one cunning creature made it out the side and just sneeringly made his way around the side of the hill. And he checked out the old man and found out what he smelled like and what he was like. And they began to study one another. But this man was different. He wasn't like those that followed the hounds and rode the horses. He was not one that set the traps and waited in the dead of night. But this man was a walker. He was a walker. And his intention was to walk that wolf to death. I'll walk him to death. Huh? A wolf. Outrun horses, outrun hounds, miss all the traps. So cunning, so smart, so sharp that nobody could catch him. But the old man just grinned and he said, I'll walk him to death. And so all day long, while the old wolf should have been laying up in his den somewhere, the old man walked after him. He could track him across the grass and leaves. He could track him anywhere. If he missed his track for a while, he knew how to follow him on around the side of the hill and pick it up on the other side. He was a walker. And when the old wolf in the night, when the wolf would have had time to stop, instead of being able to rest, the old man was constantly on his tracks. And one day when the wolf bent over a kill, the old man saw him and give a scream, a yell, that he said, you'll never forget this as long as you live. You'll always remember my voice. I'm going to be behind you forever. I'll be on your tracks. He let out a shrill scream, and the old wolf shuddered, and he cranked up and ran 100 miles out of the country. He just ran away. He had done this so often, that was the way to get away from everybody. The old man just packed up his bag and walked 100 miles. And when the wolf felt that everything was secure, he came to a place, slew his kill or his food, and as it began to tear the flesh, a few days later, a shudder came upon him as his ears were pierced once again with that scream. The old man was there. He had time. He was in no hurry. He had plenty of patience. And from that day on, the wolf was terrified until one day, he became so terrified. His nerves become shattered. He went back to the land where he had originally come from. The old man followed him back. And he walked after him until the wolf was afraid to stop and eat. Until he didn't get proper rest. And until one day in the snow, the old man caught up with him, plodding along ahead of him. And by now the wolf had grown skinny and his ribs were protruding through his flesh. And the old wolf looked over his shoulder at him as the man came across the field toward him. And he began to plow through the snow to get away. The mocking laughter and the cunning craftiness of the wolf was no more now. For the first time in his life, he was looking defeat in the face. What was it? It was not somebody fast and quick and somebody who just knew how to do cunning things and set cunning traps. But it was somebody who was consistent. Someone who was willing to just take time and didn't have... They didn't worry about time. Time was no problem. The old man followed the wolf through the snow until he literally walked upon him and took his fingers and put it around his throat and choked the wolf to death, skinned him, and carried the skin back and collected the bounty. He was patient. He had plenty of time. He was in no hurry. And he literally walked him to death. I'm going to preach to you tonight just for a few moments a simple thought, and I'm going to call it the marathon. I'm going to preach to you about the marathon. But if I should call it anything tonight, I think I should call it the tortoise and the hare. How many of you remember the story of the tortoise and the hare? Huh? Everybody remembers that. The hare, the old rabbit was fast. He could run fast. Gone. Jump out of his bed and zoom, he's gone. The old tortoise just plod along, just stand up on his legs, and we call them gophers in our part of the world. But he just plod along. So that somehow, one of the nursery rhymes pitted the tortoise against the hare. And the hare wasn't even worried about it. He couldn't care. Why, you people out of your minds. Racing me against the tortoise? Why, I'm fast. Don't you folks know I'm fast? I'm fast. I run fast. He can't outrun me. So off the starting line they went with a charge, and the old tortoise just stood up on his toenails and plodded away. And somewhere down the road, the old rabbit looked back over his shoulder and he said, "Man, I'm so far out in front of this guy, I can sit down and take it easy." And so he sat down, took a good nap. In a moment, came back to himself, and here come the tortoise. He cranked up and run again, and sat down again down the road. And he did it so often until after a while, he sat down too long, and the turtle or the gopher, the tortoise, won the race. Hallelujah. You know what's wrong with us tonight? Some of us, many of us, me, you, we're good runners. We're good runners. We know how to run. We know how to get happy and how to shout. We know how to go to church on Sunday night and clap our hands and do things. But we're guilty of making a charge and sitting down. Making a big dash and sitting down. Getting a good camp meeting and sitting down. Getting a good revival service and sit down. Hallelujah. But I want you to understand there's something back over your shoulder that don't quit. There's something there that don't quit. It's always coming. It's always there. Always, always, always coming. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to know something tonight, and I mean this with my heart. I want to serve God. I want to finish my race. I am determined tonight to make it if it can be made. I may not make it. I may fail, but right now I've got my mind made up that I want to make it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Paul said, "Know you not that we all run in a race, but only one wins the prize?" We all run. But only one wins. I looked at that for years and years and years, and I really didn't know what Paul was talking about. Brother Johnson and I talking a moment ago. He preaches camp meetings. Many men here do great things around this country. And for too many years, things have happened to men and churches, not only speakers of conferences and camp meetings and conventions, but in churches. Your neighboring church, I'm strong. I can whip all the Philistines. Mom, don't worry about little old Sammy. I'm okay. But, honey, you ought not go down there and date those Philistines. You better leave Delilah alone, baby. Sammy, you ought not go down there and get involved in that kind of crap. But, Mom, I'm strong, Mom. Don't you understand? All I've got to do is flex my muscles a little bit and give a roar, and they'll run, Mom. Because I'm strong. But after a while, he ran out and shook himself and didn't have it anymore. The race is not to the swift. The battle's not to the strong. But it is to them that have got their mind made up to keep on reaching and going and moving and progressing. Woo! Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can't stop. Do you know one thing today? I have gained more enemies, and I've said this a number of times, but I have gained more enemies by the revival that I've had in Grovetown than by anything else I've ever preached in my life. Boy, that went over big, didn't it? I've gained more enemies
by having church growth than I have about anything I've done. I've gained more enemies about building a big church than I have about doing anything else. Somebody said, you've got to be a compromiser to have a big church. That's a lie. That is a pitiful excuse for somebody that's doing nothing. Hallelujah. You can have it, friend. You don't have to compromise holiness, truth, power, worship, attendance. You can have all of God you want if you're willing to walk with God. Hallelujah. I get around my brothers and my friends, and I want to talk about it so bad. Here the other night, we had a couple Sunday nights ago, I baptized 6 people, and I don't even know how many got the Holy Ghost. That many, maybe more. I don't know. I don't know how many people get the Holy Ghost anymore. They get the Holy Ghost out in the crowd, in the altar, back in the rooms, in the bathroom. I don't know. I just don't know how many get the Holy Ghost. But I can't talk about braggart. I don't want to be around him when he talks. I can't help it. I really can't help it. It just gets a hold of me. But I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it just to offend somebody. I just got to keep running. I can't stop. I've got to keep reaching. There's something out before me that no matter whether anybody likes it or not, whether I'm offensive or angered, I've got to keep reaching. It's there before me, and the Lord has promised it to me, and I've got to keep running. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because if I slow down, there's somebody on my trail behind me. Right behind me on my trail. He's got time. He's got patience. He's not in a hurry. And when I slow down, friend, he's going to take charge. And I'm going to lose what could have been mine. I've got to keep on. I've got to keep running. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! The Lord knows how to deliver me, godly, out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly, mainly, first of all, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, they despise government, and they are presumptuous. Presumptuous are they. Self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Hallelujah. Presumptuous. 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 If we're not careful, we will become presumptuous. I've got the Holy Ghost. God's got to bless me. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. I've got some kind of hold on the promises of God because I know how to quote Acts 2 and 38, and we have become presumptuous. But we don't own it, friend. We don't hold a charge over it. It belongs to God and the world, and God's going to get it to the world. Hallelujah. So the hare run for a while, sit down, the tortoise caught up and won. It startled me here some weeks ago when I discovered in all of my life, I didn't really know what it was all about. I preached about the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. And I preached about their vessels empty, and the 5 wives having oil in their vessels, and they went in, the others didn't go in, they went by. I preached about that, but I did not know. In 19 years of my ministry, I did not know until a few days ago what caused the 5 foolish virgins to fail. They fell because of the sin of presumption. They did. Presumption means, the meaning of presumption means to take for granted or to be overconfident. That's the meaning. The 5 foolish virgins said, I got time. I got time. I'll wait till he knocks on the door and I'll borrow some of hers. And if she ain't got any, I'll go get some. I got time. I'm in no hurry. I'll run a little bit Sunday night. And when Monday gets here, I'm going to have a good time. I'm not going to put up with that stuff. I'm going to live my life. The sin and the downfall of the five foolish virgins was the sin of presumption. They felt at the last minute they could go in and get what they wanted, but it didn't work that way. And I'll promise you one thing here tonight, in this 1,000 or more people sitting in this tabernacle, there are people sitting here tonight who run from one blessing to another. And you think in between, you can sit down and say, when I want to, I can get up and go get what I want. But it's not that easy. I'm here to tell you tonight, there's something behind you, and you better look over your shoulder and understand that this race, it's for sure, it's for real. This race is for life. Hallelujah. They were guilty of the sin of presumption, and they failed because of the sin of presumption. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Paul said, there is set up for me a crown. Can I use that right there for a crown? Everybody see that light right there? The one don't have any bulb in it? See that dark thing right there? Everybody say crown. Here was Paul, who was called up to the third heaven. Here was a man of faith and power and miracles, a man of evangelism, a man of the gospel, a powerful man. And he said, I am reaching for the prize. I'm reaching for the prize. It's set before me, and I'm constantly reaching for it. The Lord has laid up for me a crown of righteousness that the just God is going to give me, and not only me, but to everyone that loves His appearance. I want you to understand that through all the years of Paul's ministry, he was running and he was reaching for his crown. The Apostle Paul, he went running through Ephesus, through all of Asia. He went running through Samaria and the country round about Jerusalem. And wherever he went, he was reaching for his crown. He said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I'm running. I'm not going to stop. Get behind me, Satan. I'm reaching for the crown. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and anything like that. Hallelujah. 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 How many of you folks are running a race tonight? You like that race? 22 years ago, I made up my mind to run the race. Boy, sometimes I've got tired. You ever got tired? Huh? Man, sometimes this thing gets hard. But I got to keep running. I don't want to stop now. So I'm going to keep reaching for my crown. The Lord set a crown ahead of me, and I've got to keep going. Hallelujah. You know why I'm in Grovetown, Georgia? I'm not in Grovetown, Georgia because I want to impress somebody. I'm in Grovetown, Georgia because I'm reaching for my crown. You know why I believe Acts 2 and 38? Not because Brother Johnson believes it, but I believe it because I'm reaching for my crown. Understand with me tonight. You know why I want to see Sunday school grow? Because I'm reaching for my crown. You know why I'm preaching tonight? I'm reaching for my crown. I'm not here to impress somebody. I'm reaching. Hallelujah. Are you tired of reaching? Are you tired of running? Have you felt like sitting down for a while? Have you felt like slowing down? I run so long. Somebody said, I've been in this thing 20 years. Let the young folks do it. That's a joke. That's a joke, friend. Maybe the young folks can do a lot of the legwork, but that don't mean you're out of the game. Hallelujah. One old lady in my church said, I outgrew the shouting stage. Said, I got so spiritual, I outgrew shouting. You know what? The walker has got his thumbs around her throat. All right, I've run till I'm tired. God, you know how tired I am, Lord. I'm wore out. Lord, I can't get going on like this.
go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday night, revival 7 nights a week. God, I can't keep going like that. Lord, I'm tired. Lord, you know, Lord, my bills are stacking up. I can't give tithes like that, Lord. Lord, I can't give offerings. Lord, you know. Lord, I don't have the clothes to wear, Lord. My old flower sack dress don't look as good as somebody else's, Lord. I can't. Lord, I'm tired. I've been running too long, Lord. Hallelujah. There's been times in my life that I found me a good easy chair, a reclining chair, and I sit and I say, whew. And about that time, I hear something when it gets real quiet. I say, and I look back over my shoulder. Are you hearing me? Here's my crown now. Here's my crown. My crown is before me. And I sit down while my crown is there. And I said, oh, Lord, I'm tired. And about that time, I hear something say, not me now, but something else. And I look over my shoulder. And here comes pride. And pride's reaching for my crown. Pride's reaching for my crown. And I look back beyond pride, and here comes lust. And I look beyond lust, and here comes murder. And I look beyond murder, and there's adultery. And I say that we're in a marathon, a race of the dead. Everybody, everybody, watch the crown. Everything wants your crown. Hate wants your crown. Lust wants your crown. Envy wants your crown. Jealousy wants your crown. Hallelujah. So I come out of my chair with a charge. I say, hatred, you will never have my crown. That's my crown. Jealousy, you'll never have my crown. Envy, you'll never have my crown. That's my crown. It's laid up for me. It's a crown of righteousness that the Lord's going to give to me. And I can't stop. I can't stop. I can't sit down. I can't slow down. I can't quit. It's my crown. It belongs to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is a race for life. It is a race for life. If pride does not take your crown, then pride is dead. If hatred does not take your crown, hatred is dead. If murder, debate, envy, jealousy, strife, various emulations, if they do not get your crown, they are dead. So it is a race for life. The stakes are high. You've got to run for your life. Hallelujah. No time to stop. No time to get tired. There have been times in your life that pride has passed you by and has run to the throne of your heart and has ascended up the steps of the throne of your heart. Pride has set itself down. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Pride has ascended to the throne of your heart, has crowned itself on the throne of your heart, and laughed at you and mocked you because you quit running. How many times have we had to ascend the very steps of the throne of our heart and grab pride in a prayer stranglehold and tear the crown from its head and put it back on its rightful pedestal and say, pride, you'll never take my crown. Lust and murder, you'll never take my crown. It's my crown. The Lord has promised it to me. It's mine. I'll not give it to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you what I want you to do. Everybody in the building right where you're sitting, I want you to just kind of put your hand toward this lamp here, if you will, and just kind of pat your feet a little bit and say, Lord, I'm going to keep on running. I'm not going to stop. I don't care if you want to stand up. It'd be all right. But I think we'll let the devil know something tonight, that we've got our mind made up.
There's something in our heart for this thing tonight. The crown that is laid up for me, it's mine! It's mine! It's mine, I said it's mine! At you. Hatred has mocked you. The things of this world and carnality have mocked you while it has passed you by and ascended to your throne and been crowned with a crown of blessings that ought to have been yours. Hallelujah. 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 Sit down if you want to. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what I feel tonight? I feel some folks battling their way through demon spirits to the throne of their heart and tearing the crowns from the head of demon spirits and saying, let the Lord rule supreme. Let him rule and reign in my heart tonight. Hallelujah. We think because we are apostolic that we have a license to do wrong. Because I got the Holy Ghost and talk in tongues, I've got a right to hate my neighbor. Because I've been baptized in Jesus' name, I got a right to say something about somebody. But I'm telling you, somewhere back behind you, some foul spirit has overtaken you and taken the lead in your life and is reaching for your crown tonight. And you better rise to your feet with a jealous desire, with a vehement desire, with a determination like you've never known. You better start reaching for your crown or it won't be your crown anymore. Hallelujah. I can see pride now sitting on a velvet throne of ivory and gold and silver and precious stones. I can see pride sitting on the throne of my heart with bulging eyes, bloodshot eyes, and matted hair filthy hanging over the sides of its face, with wrinkled, warted flesh, and a splattered nose and frothing lips and teeth hanging over the sides. And I can see the claws for fingernails, and I see that beautiful crown of life being placed upon the head of pride in my place. And I hear pride laugh at me. Pride. Hatred. The ugly. The horrible. That has taken my crown. That has beat me to the throne of my heart. And instead of God and holiness and peace and righteousness dwelling there, pride and ugliness, all the works of the flesh have taken their place in the throne of my heart. Hallelujah. I read a sign coming down the road here, coming to the campground the other day. Somebody down the road's a faith healer. Faith healer, sister somebody. I don't know who she is. But there is nothing in the world that bothers me any more than to pass by and see a sign that has a hand with five fingers on it. It says palm reader. That bothers me. Sometimes I'd like to stop my car and run right through the door and say, in Jesus' name, here I come. I mean it. I have really felt that way. Holy Ghost talking in tongues, Jesus' name, here I come. You know, hallelujah. We are so used to the thing of evil spirits and witchcraft and things of this nature that we think we've got it all figured out. We think witchcraft is palm reading, fortune telling, tea leaves, stargazers, necromancers, enchanters, all these things. You read about it in the book of Numbers, where God said, if anybody be among the camp of Israel with these, they're an abomination, we want them out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. One preacher said one time, he went to a church, and pastor told him, said, brother, I'm having a problem with this woman over here. She's rebellious, she's causing trouble. And the old man walked to the pulpit and said, we're going to have a revival around here. God's going to bless. Holy Ghost is going to fall. And he said, you lady over there sitting over there on that seat, he said, we're going to have a revival, and you might as well go ahead and get on your broom and ride out of here. I didn't see it. He said it. It was all right. At least he knew where he stood, you know. But we think about witches. Witches. Witchcraft. And I'm not talking about mother-in-laws either. You know, one of the surprising things about witchcraft and sorcery, or we'll just use the subject of witches and witchcraft, one of the surprising things about it is Paul put it in the works of the flesh. He didn't put it over there with the soothsayers and so on. He put it in the work. He said witchcraft. Ha! Well, I'm glad I'm not in that category. Think about it for a minute. One of the wise men of our day wrote a definition. He said, the definition of witchcraft is the conjuring up of a foul spirit to control the spirit of your fellow man. That was witchcraft. That's what he said witchcraft was. You know what that means? I don't like you. I don't like you. Why? I don't know. I just don't like you. Say, hey, Brother Upton, I don't like Shorty Mayo. Let me tell you why I don't like him, Brother Upton. I don't like the shoes he wears. I don't like the way he combs his hair. His tie's the wrong color. And I don't like that suit. I just don't like him, Brother Upton. Just don't like him. And listen, if you're going to be my friend, you don't like him either, here. Let's not like Brother Mayo, okay? What I have done is reach back in the closet, and I've got a spirit. And I have lifted up that old foul spirit to help me put down my brother. And I have just put my hand on witchcraft, and I have become a witch! I just got involved in witchcraft because I had to go get a foul spirit to put down my brother! If you are a tailbearer and a peddler and a criticizer, you're dealing in witchcraft. It's time you better start running. And you better get your hand outstretched toward a crown that's got some gold and some jewels and some emeralds and some precious stones. You better leave what's behind back there and get your mind on what's up here. I gotta keep running. I hear the breath. I hear the footsteps of something right behind me. And if I slow down, they're going to catch up. And my crown won't be mine anymore. It'll belong to them and not to me. Whew. You say something about your sister. I don't like the way she fixes her hair. I don't like the way she wears her clothes. I don't like that. It's witchcraft. It is the conjuring up of a foul spirit to control the spirit of your fellow man. You've got to use something to put them down so you can be elevated up. And that is witchcraft. Everybody still hearing me tonight? Hallelujah. You know what I feel? I feel right now. I said a moment ago, I feel some folks in this church tonight ready to run, friend. I believe there's some people here tonight that's about ready to get some things off heart and off minds and ascend the throne and drag down ugly spirits and foul demons and decrown and dethrone and put them down and say, let the Lord rule. Let the Lord rule. Let the Lord rule. Let the Lord reign. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah to God. Glory to God. My crown is mine. Let's stand to our feet right now and lift our hands. Let's let the devil know tonight.